We are returning to our series on 1 John, and so this morning we are in 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 3. We'll be reading from 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through chapter 3, verse 10. It is kind of funny sounding, so you're probably going to listen to it and say, "What? Huh?" And so you might want to follow along. It's on page 1044 in the Pew Bible. The vocabulary is very simple, and yet it can be a little tricky to follow what the train of thought actually is. So a few words before we start include that it's not on 1044. You never know, I went on study leave. I think I went on unstudy leave. We're on 1184. This is a letter that is written to the church. To a series of churches that were planted in the tradition of John and the Gospel of John. You know that in the early church, a lot of people followed Paul's theological bent and other people followed John's. And we are issued more from Paul than from John because most of John's church disappeared. And this letter points to some of the problems they had, intense fighting within their church and division and destruction. And so this letter is written to a church that is undergoing a lot of division. Now, we don't know exactly why, because we have to infer everything from the challenges that John is saying. But what we scholars have been able to conclude is that they were most likely threatened and contaminated, we might say, by a dualistic way of thinking called Docetism. Now, Docetism is somewhat related to the way that we think today. That your body and your soul are separate. And so when we say that when we die, our soul will go to heaven, I don't know what John would actually say about that. He might disagree. It leads to an extreme way of thinking that probably plagued this church, that leads to a way of thinking that what you do doesn't matter. Because it's not your actions or physical things that matter. It's what you think or what you believe in your spirit. And so it could lead to a belief of Jesus as Messiah, which is quite different than the Jesus that is earthy and in the nitty and gritty and dying to make all things new. It can make Jesus into merely this cosmic kind of metaphysical teacher. And so John writes and repeats over and over that you can tell who's really true and who knows Jesus based on how they love other people. Do they practice what they preach? Or do they just think it or tell other people what to do? So that's part of what's going on as we dive into the scripture that we've been reading through. So I invite you to listen for the word of God as we read from 1 John chapter 2, 18 through chapter 3, verse 10. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as if you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See what you have heard from the beginning. See that it remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, And as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. And no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. And this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother or sister. This is the word of the Lord. It's an easy one, isn't it? We can all exhale. I was thinking about it, and then, in fact, I was awake all night last night thinking about it, thinking, oh, I got to do this different. And I chucked the whole sermon. Now I'm like, oh, I was so tired, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. I was struck by the title of the sermon, actually, I gave it, is from a song, and maybe you know that song. It goes, love, 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 Christians. Christians, this is your call. Love your neighbor as yourself, for God loves all. That's the sermon. I think that's really what John is trying to say. And he's saying that if you don't love that way, then you are mistaken. If it's just an idea, you are mistaken. If it is not how you live, you are mistaken. I wonder what it was like in that church. Must have been pretty brutal. Must have been fairly obvious if he's saying, this is how you know who is of the devil and who is born of God. Now, one thing to know when you hear the word devil is you might think of a guy with horns and a pitchfork, but the word literally means the one who divides. And so we see that the one who divides in this church is the one who does not love as Jesus loved. Who maybe talks about it, who talks around it, but who does not do it. You have to practice what you preach. I'm going to skip a whole bunch of things here, so let's keep on going. I don't know if we're going to see anything. We're going to skip that. Skip that, skip that, skip that. Just remember, Jesus loves you, and we're supposed to love as Jesus loves us. That's what all that says. I found this cartoon this week. It's by a group called Naked Pastor, which is very funny. You can look it up, nakedpastor.com. And in it, Jesus is talking to some people who look very sour and dour, who all have their holy Bibles. And he says to them, the difference between me and you is that you use scripture to determine what love means. And I use love to determine what scripture means. Again, it's what 1 John is saying. I got a book for Christmas that as I try to read it each night, I think, whoa, I am so intelligent. It's about 1,000 pages long. It's by a woman named Jo Lepore. She's a professor at Harvard, and she undertook it upon herself to rewrite the entire history of the United States. I've made it to about page 4 because it's really heavy, and I fall asleep really quickly. I'm going to get there. So far, it's covered Columbus. I'm almost there. And as I was been reading it, I was struck by something. I keep rereading the same thing because I fall asleep so quickly. I'm like, what happened? Let's go back to page 1. And I was struck by, let's go to the next slide, by talking about what was happening as the Spanish came and discovered the New World. And there are some things I did not remember. And they had a debate, and it arose as they were moving into Hispaniola, which is Cuba, and all those islands around there where Columbus first came, and they're enslaving the people and taking everything, and they're saying, God has given us this land. God has given us you. You belong to us because we know God. And there was a priest in one of those towns that gave a sermon and said, wait a second. Aren't these God's children too? And so they thought about it, and they had a debate, and they came up with this answer, that surely they, all of these people might be made of God and from God, and they might have equal rights as everyone else. And the only way to know would be this way. And this is what they did. It was a law that was sanctioned by the King of Spain, and it was called requerimiento. And it's still a word that's used in Spanish. And what it meant was that when the Spanish left the Caribbean and went to what we call Mexico and the southern part of our United States, they, when they encountered new people, they were supposed to read a long statement that said basically that God created man and woman in God's image, reading parts of Genesis, and that God established the church to rule over the world, and that Jesus anointed the Pope as the right hand of God, and that the right hand of God had anointed the king and queen of Spain as the emissaries of God. And so if you hear all of this and you recognize it and you accept the authority of the church and the authority of the king and queen of Spain, you shall be recognized as full citizens, and you shall keep your land, and you shall live a good life in the colonies. But if you refuse to accept this, or if you do not understand it, then the Spanish army has the right to forcibly enter your lands and conquer you and take your wives and your children as slaves and enslave you for the rest of your life. Now that is an altar call if I ever heard one. Now the other thing you might not have noticed is, but they actually were giving this speech in Spanish, a language that none of these people actually spoke. So, of course, they were all enslaved, and they were all destroyed. And all of this was done in the name of God. Now, it's easy for me to throw stones and to say, holy cow, that is whacked. How could you believe that the Jesus who shows us what God's love is by giving his life would want that? Maybe that's why I'm not getting past page 4. I don't know. But man, it sure is easy to see where other people are messed up. At least it is for me. So obvious. I was gone last week. You can go to the next picture. Let's see. I can't really see well. But and I was with a pastor's group, and we have met for 20 years. I have not been in the whole 20 years, but for 20 years, most of these people have met for a week a year. They come from all over the country. They are people that have given their lives to working in the church in urban areas. And we meet together for a week of eating and drinking and staying up late and goofing off and talking a lot about God and a lot about the church and a lot about pains and hurts and having a great time. It is a reminder for me every year of what it means to be Christian. That my experience is just one experience of many other people's. I am not a black man who's a pastor in the South. I am not a Korean woman who was a pastor in Atlanta. I have a different experience. And all of those things are valid and different and challenging. I came away this week, as I do every year, I think, aware of my own sinfulness. What I mean by that is that I can all too quickly think it is so hard being a Christian. It is so hard to be a pastor. I have to give up so much. I have to work every Sunday. I never get a weekend. It's easy to start from simple, funny things like that, but to start to feel like, well, you know, I suffer so much because I try to be faithful. I have a conscience, and so my life is harder. I make excuses for myself. Maybe you do that too, if you're as unrighteous as I am. And in thinking about that, I realized, you know, I'm not that different than those Spanish conquistadors who went out and read that statement and expected people to understand what they were saying in a foreign language and then said, well, that means God lets us do whatever we want. I'm not that different on a certain level than that. I want to live out the gospel. I want to live into the gospel. And yet who I am means there's no shortage of mistakes in my life. There's no shortage of sin. There's no shortage of spiritual blindness. There's also no shortage of authentic zeal and desire to follow Jesus, to know Jesus, to live like Jesus. So sitting with all that this week, I thought, I don't know what to do with all this. It's just too hard. And so Wednesday night, So Wednesday night, I went to the school board meeting, and Gary is not here this morning, is he? Maybe he's at home recovering. I went to the school board meeting as Gary is on the school board, and school board is facing a $30 million deficit. They have talked about closing over 20 schools in the school district, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go, and I'm going to stand up on the side just so that Gary knows that there's at least one person that doesn't want to kill him in the room. So I stood way to the side, and I just waited till he saw me, and he smiled. And I was there, and I was mindful of him. I had texted him before the meeting started saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for all of you. And he shared that text with the other people on the school board. And they were amazed, which is great, and then sad that they were amazed that someone would be praying for them. And so I was there meeting, and I was just trying to have a small, smiling face to connect with Gary, and I heard all of the jeering and the shouting. And many of you know Gary. He's a child of the city, a child of the school district, and people were screaming, you're just here to steal our money. You hate Oakland children. You hate the city of Oakland. And I thought, oh gosh, if you only knew. At the same time, I was thinking, oh, thank God that I am not in charge of this decision. But I thought, if we only knew how hard it is to take the time, how hard it is to practice what we preach, and how meaningful it is when we experience that. If you go back one picture, I think, Albert, see if I mess it up. Let's see. Wait, go forward one. Maybe try another one. There we go. This is a picture you can't see very well, but I will share it. I came home that night, and then I went on Facebook to see if anybody else I knew was at the meeting. And I got a message from Donna Pittman. Now, you don't know who Donna is, but she knows who you are. Donna is a person who lives in Guatemala, who we have given money to, who is running a clinic with her husband. We gave her several hundred dollars to buy medical equipment. As she does a clinic and they see over 100 people in their living room every Thursday. She sent me all of these pictures saying, thank you. Tell everyone thank you. We use the money you gave to buy all the supplies that we gave away today. She also included, and I'll share it a different way, but the bottom there's pictures of two children that she took out for ice cream after saying to them, telling them that Jesus loved them and that that was what all of this was about. I was struck by that. Same time that I don't do what I want to do, and I oftentimes don't practice what I preach, I was struck by the ways in which together we do practice what we preach. I was thinking of Gary and him serving on the board, and then I was thinking about other things. We'll go to the next slide. I'll share this another way, but these are all different pictures of different things that we have done together. Now, I'm not saying it's about doing things, but it's really visible expressions of God's love. I saw Pete. If you come by on Tuesday sometime, Pete sits on the front porch, plays music for people. And I love to watch him from inside, just hanging out there playing the guitar. People stopping and talking. Think of the people teaching ESL on Monday nights. I think of so many different things, the meal on Friday nights, the ways in which we interact with other people and talk with them. I went to lunch across the street at the Golden Squirrel this week, and the owner came up and said, "How is everybody at the church?" He said that before he asked me how I was doing. And I say that because I think that's beautiful. He's aware of a community that's seeking to practice what we preach. It's the opposite of what these antichrists, as John calls them, what they're doing in that church. And so in the midst of all of this stuff this week, I came back to you, thinking of you, that you practice what you preach. Like me, you don't do it all the time, but you do love as God loves us, and you seek to do it. That's why a lot of these things happen. That's why several elementary schools in the neighborhood called me this week to say, "Could we have a strike school at your church if there is a strike? We thought you might be open to that because of how you are." They weren't talking about me. They were talking about us. So in the midst of all of that, I come back to this song, "Love, Love, Love, Love." Christians, this is your call. Love your neighbor as yourself, for God loves all. Thank you. Good work. Keep it up. Amen. Amen. As we get ready to sing, I want to invite Chick Windu to come forward. This is Chick's first time being in church this year.
Glad you're
back, Chick. For those of you who may not know Chick Windu received a new heart at Thanksgiving and is truly alive because of love. And so Chick wanted to offer a few words. And I think his story really reflects exactly what John is talking about. Loving as God loves us. So thank you, Chick, for being with us. And thank you for the word you're going to share with us.
Romans 12:12. The Lord says, "In all circumstances, rejoice and give thanks." I'm using this passage because of what happened to me this morning. Coming here, I would have gotten here earlier than now. I got here late because I blew a tire right by the intersection of 580 going towards San Francisco, right in MFL. But the Lord says, rejoice and give thanks no matter the circumstance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. College Avenue Presbyterian Church, praise the Lord. Tim Cheek, praise the Lord. Let all that have breath praise the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Your prayers, your love and support you extended to me and my family through home visits hospital visits, phone calls, cards, lots of them, cannot be matched. You are awesome. You are awesome. What did that do? It lifted up my spirit. It boosted my confidence. It helped in my recovery. Your love and support, I thank you. And I'm gonna say, yes, they know we are Christian by our love. Yes. And yes, they know we are Christian by our love. The love you showed to me, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And they'll know we are Christian by our love, by our love. Yes, they know we are Christian by our love. The Lord says in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon my name and I will answer you. Not only will I answer you, I will show you a multitude of other things you know not. And also in 1 Peter, cast all your anxiety, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties unto the Lord. He loves you and he will bring relief to you. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, the Lord says, be constant in prayer. The boss doesn't stop here. Continued prayer. Continue to pray. Pray and ask the Lord whatever your needs are. Even though the Lord knows all our needs. But he says, pray. The emphasis on those three books. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Jeremiah 33:3. The focus is on communication and prayer. Communication and prayer. We cannot stop as Christians. That's the way we make known to the Lord, even though he knew everything about us. The number of hairs in our head. No one can say they know. Only the Lord knows. Yet, he says, pray without ceasing. Awesome God, I thank you. I thank you for what you have done. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, fellow believers, for listening, for allowing me to share. And thank you, Monty, for giving me a chance to speak, to thank the Lord for what he has done. Thank you.